Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this December the 16th on the West Coast, now December the 17th, 2009, on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome all those listening to our show this evening or this afternoon, depending on where you are in the world. On Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com. Well, there's a lot going on in the world today. Chris Story had a very interesting report at worldreports.org, something I posted on my website, directlightproductions.com. Seems that a number of key personnel in the financial sector have been arrested, detained, warned, and we could say incapacitated as far as the theft of massive funds. Word is that former Secretary of the U.S. Treasury, Henry Hank M. Paulson, was taken to Bermuda and sequestered there to inhibit his ability to facilitate the embezzlement of trillions of dollars. There has been reports also that a number of other people have been tagged with the special tracking bracelets that evidently can even listen to their conversations, not just locate them via satellite. And I think we're going to see a change in the financial community pretty soon. Now, if there is a hearing and what is understood is that there is going to be a hearing. It'll probably take place in London, and it'll be behind closed doors, but we'll stay on top of it and follow Mr. Story's reporting as well as whatever information we can glean ourselves. We can't count on the mainstream media. That's a given. They haven't said a peep about this. This story has been going on for a number of years. And if it tips the balance, you can't imagine the positive benefits that await all Americans and really people around the world. They don't want this to happen, but it appears that it's going to happen, that the prosperity accounts that have been withheld illegally for many, many years are finally going to be released. We'll stay tuned to that. Tonight's guest has been a frequent guest on Evident Footprints, was on earlier this month. He is a health scientist, an herbalist, a historian, and my good friend, Mr. Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Don. Thanks. Great to be back.
Nice to have you back, especially getting close to the holiday here.
Great time of year.
I know you've been following some of these stories, you know, like Wantagate and what's going on with all the international banksters and the theft of the funds. Does this news I just mentioned surprise you at all?
Not so much, Don. I'm just curious now to see how it pans out over time. It's a report. And so I just wait, as with all reports, to see what happens over time, what becomes of this story. And hopefully it's true, it's accurate. And, but I really can't comment because, I really, you know, it's too early to say.
Okay. Yeah. Just seeking some feedback if you had any. I wasn't sure if you did or not.
Yeah, well, it's a new revelation, and all I can do is just sit back, give it time, as with everything else, and see how it shapes up, how it pans out, what becomes of it. because there's a lot of information out there, and not always does it come around to prove itself reliable or accurate, or even if it is, we may never know for sure because it'll be totally suppressed, and so it's just difficult to make a call on it at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I understand. I understand your feeling too about tackling the topic. It's a big one, but you can best believe that people in other parts of the world have gotten tired and weary of the way the administrative government has been acting for the past 100 years or so. And I guess we have the Federal Reserve to thank for that, don't we?
Well, yes, it's actually the men behind the Federal Reserve, the, of course, the Rockefeller Rothschild International Bankster Cabal, all their associates. They're the culprits. It's not good to just point fingers at the institutions they create because then there's nobody to blame. Recently, somebody reported, I can't recall who it was on a show a couple weeks back, maybe, and the pharmaceutical company, Don, that Baxter accidentally had some vaccines get out in their medications, and apparently they were sued for some kind of, you know, criminality. They were sued, apparently paid $1 billion, but it was the corporation itself that got sued. None of the individuals behind the corporation.
Yeah.
No accountability to them, as if the corporation all on its own did this, which is an artificial entity. And yet, it gets the suit. It's held accountable as a corporation, but no individuals behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's outrageous.
Well, I was going to say, it strikes me kind of funny that they would actually say that they accidentally put the contents of a vaccine in another medication. That's sort of like finding a tennis ball in your tire on your car, isn't it?
Absolutely. it's a poor excuse. And the bottom line, Don, you see, no accountability to individuals, but the corporation's held accountable as if it somehow did this as a corporation. And so,
yeah, a non-person, in other words.
Yeah, an artificial entity that has no mind of its own. It's individuals that are making the decisions, that are implementing actions, and none of them are ever held accountable. So now we can, you know, the Federal Reserve, absolutely, these central banks causing all the misery and suffering on the whole planet. No
yes.
question about it.
Yes.
But we have to attack the culprits behind that institution that make it run.
Oh, I agree.
Yes.
I think we have the same problem in Washington, do we not?
Absolutely, Don. That's right. Blaming the Congress or the Senate, but nobody individually and holding them accountable. Lack of accountability is what disgusts me the most with our present situation, with all the current problems we are facing here in our country. Lack of accountability by these good-for-nothing, traitorous, racketeering scoundrels rampant in our government from the federal, the state, all the way down to county and local levels.
Yes, and you know, this afternoon I had a chance to listen to Dr. A. Truwat on Drew Raines, a Marine's disquisition radio broadcast, and they gave a definition of treason out of Black's fifth edition law dictionary, and basically everything that's going on is treason, according to this definition. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's specified, and the penalty is specified as well.
Yes, definitely.
And it's not a light penalty, is it?
No, and treason never is. And it's really disgusting to see how they're not being held for treason, held accountable for treason. Nobody is really yelling it, except for everybody in the the loyal patriot movement that love their country and recognize a scoundrel and a traitor when they see one.
Mm-hmm.
But the mainstream media, all throughout their various stations or publications, yeah, they just avoid that one because, of course, they're not there to report anything regarding truths or facts, but just to spin information so that it suits the purposes of these globalists. But sure, there's got to be accountability. There has to be accountability for all these clowns.
Well, yeah, and you know, there should be accountability for what they're doing to society, really the human population around the world, with all of the poisoning of the environment and the poisoning of the things that we're given to drink or to eat, and the I don't even want to say side effects. I think anymore what really goes on with medicines and what they're calling side effects are really built in to cause further disease. And the last time you were on the show, we had promised our listeners that we were going to talk about some ways that they can protect themselves from all of this pestilence that's being created around the planet intentionally for the purpose of making us sick.
Yeah. The UN depopulation program.
Oh, yeah. And the word coming out of Denmark right now is that these talks are centering on population reduction to the tune of starting out the 3 billion people. Can you imagine that?
It's hard to imagine, but they can.
Yeah, the psychopathy and the insanity of this.
Well, they've had a lot of practice, starting with the Bolshevik Revolution and killing millions and millions of Russians. And then they extended it with the fascists as they invested and propped up the fascists and many, many more millions. And then they follow up with Mao Zedong in communist China, who I think has the all-time high of 100 million of his own people slaughtered. And then you have all the small tin pot dictators that have butchered their people from Pol Pot in Cambodia and the North Vietnamese and the North Koreans and etc. And so they've got a lot of practice at setting the stage for this kind of maniacal activity. And God willing, all the people on the planet, let alone here in our country, the Americans, are finally realizing what's going on and won't participate in any of this as they try to escalate the wars. I'm hoping everybody says, no, I'm not getting involved in your war. It has nothing to do with my country, protecting it, keeping it free. You're a bunch of traitors, and I'm not participating in it.
Mm-hmm.
And if everybody were to do that, then we could pull the fuse out of this bomb ticking away that they planted in the world in the guise of terrorism, pandemics, and then next to come, I'm sure, will be famines as well, as they limit the food supply more and more so that it becomes very expensive and scarce.
Yeah. Now, in your estimation, Michael, what is it going to take to tip the balance of consciousness that that this movement to require the powers that be to be accountable and to change this whole paradigm of fear-based mind control and propaganda? What's it going to take?
It's a tough one, Don. The threshold before things turn in our favor. Difficult to say, but we know from the past that it doesn't take it doesn't take a large amount of people, a big percentage of the population, in order to turn things around. Fortunately, that's not necessary. I would guess that at least 30%, one-third of the people, I think, would be maybe the threshold where things could be turned around. The tables turned on these globalists and their agenda.
Now, historically, it's always taken only about 5% of the people. Why do you think there's the need for an increase in those numbers? You're saying an additional 25%?
Well, yeah, normally, at least in our country, it was a very low percent. But that was the percentage of the men thinking and designing and creating the revolution, the rebellion against tyranny here. But then you had thousands of people join up into the army and into the militias. And so I'm sure it was close to like 30% done as far as the total involvement of Americans in the revolution against tyranny. And one-third pretty much were neutral, one-third pretty much loyal to the British. But I'm sure when they're just referring to the small percent of the revolutionaries that started everything off here for us in our country, that has to be just the percentage of the brains, the men that were designing and planning and conspiring to get that revolt underway so that this country, the colonies, had a chance for freedom. But, of course, when you add in all the men in the army and the militias now, it's got to be way over 3-5%, of course, out of the population in the colonies at the time. And so I'm pretty sure it's approximately one-third that really is necessary. You'll have one-third neutral, one-third in favor of the globalists. And if we can get it to about one-third of the population, those are good numbers.
Now, you know, in days gone by, you know, if you want to talk about the first American Revolution, there were a lot of people that probably would have been involved that were totally out of touch because of the time it took news to travel, or maybe even the fact that the news never even got to certain places. In other words, people found out about what was going on way after the fact.
Well, actually, in the colonies, they were very organized and had a great communication system. And you'd be surprised how fast messages went up and down the coast. And the only real isolated places would be what was known as the interior at the time, working your way into Ohio and down south further into Kentucky land and further west. They would be isolated for sure, but in the main colonies itself, Don, they were really impressed. I mean, impressive with their ability for organization. And so I don't think that there were really too many that just didn't know in time what was going on around them. It was pretty much laid out. By the time 1776 wound down, the year 1776, everybody in the colonies took a stance, either for or against or neutral, regarding the division from Britain.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to have to probably just, hope and pray that people are going to wake up. Either that or anticipate that the possibility of TV being cut off, because it certainly is not being used to put out a message of truth, and it's just aiding and abetting in the brainwashing of so many people. Mm-hmm. It still doesn't cease to amaze me how many people are just unwilling to pay attention to what's going on. They're so out of touch with it.
It's sad.
Yeah.
It really is to see our fellow brethren here in our country that refuse to come to terms with what's going on. It's really sad, but it's how it is. And yes, praying for them is about all we can do. Unfortunately, for them, if they don't wake up in time, they will have to suffer the consequences. For example, being financially wiped out because they didn't prepare. They didn't listen to any of the warnings, take heed to any advice regarding protecting whatever wealth you had by converting out of the useless Federal Reserve notes that they're going to wipe out in value, that's obvious, and convert it into gold, silver, or some other kind of substance that will have intrinsic wealth, especially under conditions where there's a depression and everybody's struggling. And so these people that just aren't catching on to things like that, that are going around right around them, and they want to remain ignorant on. Ignorance is bliss until the day of awakening. And then it's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And unfortunately for these people that are going to have to experience that, yeah, we can only feel sorry for them at that point, but we can't shed too many tears because we'll have too much on our hands as far as making sure that we are able to resist and withstand all the efforts by these commie, Nazi, globalist, slave-oriented scum that are going to try to reduce our country to a banana republic. And so we'll be focused on preventing that from happening so that we can salvage our country and make sure it has an opportunity to regain itself as a constitutional republic. So for those that aren't with us at that point in time and we see them suffering on the wayside as we struggle, we can only feel sorry for them, but we can't shed a tear because that's just how it's going to be at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And for those that are for the globalism, that want the United States to go down and become a banana republic and subservient to United Nations law, they will be our enemy as well.
Yeah, it's amazing. We can't even grow bananas in the United States.
You know? Yes, but they can make sure everybody's living in grass huts with dirt floors.
Yeah. Well, that might be a nice change after all, you know. We wouldn't have tap water. So we wouldn't have fluorides.
When you're freezing and shivering in a winter, when during the summer you're soaking wet, the interior of a boat is flooded out, then there's no going back. I mean, the United States has reached a certain level of civilization that hasn't been around in a very long time, and other countries just started catching up to us. Of course, the Europeans are on par with us in many ways because we have civilization in common. We are European descendants, primarily, that make the United States what it is today as far as technology and luxury items. That's mainly all European invention. And so to lose that and to go back to caveman-like existence, I mean, God forbid. Because that'll usher in a dark age for sure, and that's what we don't want to happen. We're trying to prevent these people that created the dark age in the past, and they're trying to make sure the dark age is fully established again so that the people in general are just ignorant slaves, happy and content to have a little menial job, earning a bowl of rice a day, and content to have a little grass roof over their heads. That's what they want out of their serfs, and we have to make sure that doesn't come about, because that'll be a dark age that will just, how do you get out of that? Takes only divine activity to get us out of that, and who knows when that will come. No, those are thoughts that I would not even want to contemplate. We have to ensure that the United States remains strong enough that it's going to rebound after this crisis that it unfortunately looks like it's going to have to experience, that it can rebound quick enough, remain elastic to snap right back enough to get back on track where we left off, get civilization going, get great technologies out the door so that we can continue on being a very productive people, because it's only through productivity that civilization flourishes.
Well, yeah. Well, I think we're at a stage where we've got to be productive from a creative standpoint, you know, because there's obviously no intention to empower the people. Everything has been geared to disempowerment and ignorance of really what's going on. Now, a lot of what's going on is sort of smoke and mirrors. It's an illusion, too. And I think when I say, what I mean to say is that if we exercise our creativity and apply that creativity to problem solving rather than waiting for someone else to solve it or to watch someone else solve it for us, we're just going to keep stagnating. We have to transcend that fear and that matrix in thinking. You know, last night's show, I had Dr. Mike Castle on, and we talked a lot about consciousness in terms of what happens to a person physiologically when certain aspects of information move to the forefront of our consciousness. Say, for example, if you are to walk up to a total stranger and bring up the issue of 9/11, just to evoke any kind of comment, basically, you know, nothing implying conspiracy, but just to talk about the event, you'll find that many people know very little about it, or they're merely going to repeat something that they heard on television or on the radio. And, you know, there's still people pushing the story of the 19 box cutter wielding Arab hijackers. There are people talking about how the building came down with the fire from the fuel, despite all the science that says that wouldn't happen, that it was impossible for that to happen under normal conditions. And you see people go into denial. You see the glassy-eyed look. You see the intolerance to actually apply any logic to an event. It's almost like there's just this mindless drifting through time, and it's called a day. And when you do it in a place away from home on a regular schedule, it's called a job. You know. Et cetera, et cetera. What are your thoughts on the, you know, as to what is probably the biggest contributor to that mindset?
It's very simple, Don. As I call it in the book I have to finish, I call it mortal syndrome, and they play upon that because they understand the human nature, that we have the mortal nature, which is very, very weak. Its tendencies will gear itself towards, it has more of an affinity towards vices. Laziness is a vice. Laziness of thought, not thinking. Letting somebody else do the thinking for you. That's a vice. And so they know this very well. And they play upon our mortal nature, which is very, very weak. As our Lord and Master made very clear, even though the four Gospels are kind of weak on that, but the Lord was very clear about how to make sure we're not prey to the wolves. And it's through our mortal nature that all our faults lie. And so they play on that. They know us very well. And they're mortals too, fortunately. And they're prone to all kinds of weaknesses. They're not immortals like they think they are. They want to be. They're trying through technology to achieve it, but it ain't going to happen. David Rockefeller, that turd, he's going to kick the bucket just like the rest of them are, and they'll go right back to the hole that they crawled out of, that's a furnace down below, and they'll be greeted by their fallen angel brethren and their dad, Satan himself, and so they're not as grand and great as they think they are, but they've played us really well, And that's why they control everything, because it's through that control that they've acquired, that they've exerted their negative influence throughout all of our culture, through the education, through media and entertainment, and every single opportunity that they can get our attention focused on whatever it is they're selling, they will trip us up with that sale by enticing us to continue on being either lazy physically, lazy mentally, intellectually, or lethargic as far as just not caring about anything, or, you know, there is no God, anything goes, so hey, you only live once, do it all now while you can, no matter what happens, doesn't matter. There's no accountability when you kick the bucket, so do whatever you want. And so they sell all that nonsense. And unfortunately, it started to be accepted by the current generations, where at least, you know, at least so many generations back, I would say at least 100 years ago by now, those Americans then, I don't think for the most part, none of them could be deceived. And they understood when they heard messages that were like that to avoid it and shun it, knowing full well it came from the devil. And they, in generally, the Americans relied on individualism and brotherly assistance with each other when it was needed and required. That kind of sacrifice, that kind of volunteering, only because it was the right thing to do to help somebody else when they were in a tough spot. And it wasn't forced upon them or anything like that. And still many, as they help people, they even got a salary, a wage for it. And that's fine too, because they were working or selling something to help somebody. And so that there's cost involved with that. So there's nothing wrong with that either, as long as it's always fair for both parties. And today, though, you know, it took some decades, took some maybe two generations to really, and a lot of drugs and alcohol, a lot of drugs that were legal and a lot of drugs that are illegal, to get the modern mind into the sorry condition it's currently in.
Well, yeah, there, you know, procrastination is a big part of,
yes,
of this problem, too. And,
right.
And you know, they use the term pretty loosely when they describe the condition. You know, it's you'll hear, well, it's putting off for another day what you could do right now.
Mm-hmm.
But in a sense, by just saying that everybody procrastinates, everybody keeps procrastinating, as if that's acceptable. Well, everybody's doing it, so why don't I? I guess you could draw the same analogy to bank robberies and embezzlement.
Sure.
Well, the government's doing it, so why shouldn't I? Why should I be punished when they're not punished? Why should I be accountable when they're not accountable?
Yep, or I'll keep my mouth quiet now, even though I see before me illegal activity. You know, I'm just going to procrastinate, and I'm not sure if I should say anything, or... where when I see it, I call it on the spot just for what it is. And so sure, procrastination is a problem because we're not making proper decisions at critical points in time. So that it's like you see a dam, there's a little leak, but you keep walking by looking at the leak, procrastinating. Well, should I plug it? I wonder if it's going to get worse. And so that's what happens when you procrastinate too much. Eventually, that little hole does get worse. Next thing you know, it's a washout.
Or maybe the water will go away, you know?
Yeah, that's right. It's just going to seal up on its own, Don. And that's a problem with that kind of mental attitude. And they also, another major problem, Don, that they snuck on us, that Americans fell for, was short-term thinking instead of long-term thinking. You see, Americans in the old days, the real Americans with individualism, everything was long-term. What I'm doing now and tomorrow and the day after, so many years down the road, is going to benefit me. But today, don't worry about down the road and just worry about right now. Quick short-term profit. No matter what the long-term effects will be, just grab the short-term profit now, which is big corporation attitude for sure. And so the hell with all big corporations. The faster they go down, the better off we all will be. Because that'll bring individualism back into play. Small opportunities for small businesses to spring up everywhere to fill up that big void that big corporation has left behind. Mom and pop stores popping up. Family enterprises again. Big corporations have to bite the dust. That is key for the future civilization of our country and this whole planet. And their short-term pursuit of profit at all costs, regardless of the long-term effects. That's why we're in the mess we're in right now. The short-term effect of giving the Panama Canal away will have a long-term effect on us because that's the most critical military strategic point in the Western Hemisphere for our defense and offense. And it's in the hands of communists from China now. So that short-term gain, supposedly, there's a gain. I mean, they're supposed to be saving us millions of dollars, they told us, and yet we still contribute millions of dollars a year to them. Figure that one out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the real problem, too. Being conditioned just to think short-term instead of long-term. And so, you know, they're very cunning, clever devils we're up against. And we have to be just as cunning and as clever as them in order to defeat them. And that's why the good Lord said, be wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. We won't be ruthless in a despicable way that they are, treating God's creation in such a despicable manner. No, but we'll be as cunning and clever as they are, so that they cannot outmaneuver us. Like in a chess game, they have their master players making all the critical moves up against us to corner us, to eventually ruin us. We need to be master chess players and out-strategize them. Or in the words of Boy George G.W. Bush, we got to have a better strategery.
Well, he's in a lot of hot water these days. I don't think many people are going to pay attention to anything he's saying.
Is he in hot water, Don?
Oh, he's in big hot water. Over
really?
This financial scandal, of course.
Yeah, yep, we'll see. Boy George, or the old man, but Boy George.
Boy George and older Boy George.
Well, you know, couldn't happen to a better bunch of dirtbags.
You know, his friends gave him a rather ethnic nickname that seemed to be acknowledging his origins.
The old Kraut?
Yeah.
Zeke Heil.
And he sort of admires that nickname.
I wish that slipped out in public at some point. That would be great to hear.
Well,
maybe see him do a little goose step, you know, when he hears it too. That would be great to get it on film.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, you know, I want to shift gears just a little bit and go to this issue of health. I was talking to a friend of mine earlier today, who's a pretty creative guy. He's self-employed. He does you could say home improvement type work, light construction, finished carpentry, remodeling, that kind of stuff. And he's pretty decent worker, you know, he's skilled and knows, you know, what the parameters are, the rules of the road, so to speak, in woodworking and that. And he's, pretty sharp guy. And he was telling me a lot about his father's views on things. And his father comes from the backwoods of Kentucky, and he's got a very simplistic way of describing what's going on in the world. And, you know, this guy understands what's true from listening to his son speak about the things he says, where he hides his money, because he doesn't trust the banks, and what foods he grows on his own because he doesn't trust how they're being grown and marketed and handled as they make their way to the marketplace.
Smart.
Yeah. And you hear a lot of wisdom come out of the stories that he tells about his father. And then he was telling me that he was asking me if I noticed anything strange with the water. And I said, "What water are you talking about?" And he said, "The drinking water." And I asked him another question. "Well, what is your definition of drinking water?" And he said, "Well, you know, the tap. You know, the water from that you get from the sink, whether it's in the kitchen or the bathroom or." And I said, "What do I think of it?" I try not to make contact with it at all.
Don't even want to bathe in it.
If I can help it.
That's right.
"Why do you ask?" He said, "Well, the water at my house is tasting pretty nasty, and it even has a nasty smell." And I said, "And you're drinking it?"
Is it a well or is it municipality
water? We're talking about municipal water.
Whoa.
You know, that's fed into, you know, all the households.
And he's up here in Ohio, or this is his family in Kentucky?
No, he's in Ohio. His mm-hmm. father is in Kentucky.
Right, so this is Ohio mm-hmm. where he's referring to the water problem.
Yeah, and I said, "You should have stopped that long ago. I mean, if you're aware that it's bad, do you know some of the things that are in the tap water? Do you know why you shouldn't drink it?" And he said, "Well," he said, I don't feel like drinking it because it smells so bad and it tastes so bad right now." And I said, "Do you know what fluorides are?" And he said, "Well, that's the thing that the dentist put in, or, you know, the manufacturing companies put in toothpaste mm-hmm. and mouthwash and other products. And then that's one of the things that dentists always tell you need to prevent cavities." And I said, "You use fluoride, right?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "You have cavities?" And he said, "Oh, yeah. I've had a lot of them throughout my life."
Mm-hmm.
So I then pushed the issue a little bit and asked him what he thought caused the cavities. And, of course, you know, this is one of the myths that they put out there. And they repeat the lie enough times and everybody buys into it. Even a lot of the dentists are totally oblivious to what's going on with what is in the water or what fluoride can do to a human body.
Yeah, well,
and a mind.
That's what happens when you have the media controlled by these dirtbags, and then they publish these reports which look so technical, so, you know, intelligent and state-of-the-art with knowledge. And then they sell it, you know, they sell it where through all these publications, and even the dentist, when they read it, think it's authentic, it's a legitimate scientific report, you know, and that's the sad part about it, especially as a scientist, never double checking anything and just taking it at face value for the truth. But the layman, you can't blame them so much because they're like, "Hey, he's a doctor, Mike. You're telling me he's lying to me? He doesn't know he's a doctor. Of course he's got to know this stuff, Mike." And so it's like, well, okay. If that's what you want to believe, without questioning anything yourself. And so it's all part of the deception, Don. And, you know, our country's in the grip and the whole world's in the grip of ruthless controllers without any souls. They despise God and His creation and everything good. They're only happy when everything else is miserable. They're miserable when everything else is happy. So if we have robust health, then we're feeling great. Those despicable turds are miserable. But when they see people suffering with all kinds of various problems plaguing them, oh, they love it. They're popping champagne bottles. They're happy as all could be. This is what we're up against. And that's why there has to be accountability so we can get our hands on these dirtbags and finally hold them accountable and make them pay for a lot of wrongdoing.
Yeah. Well,
now, of course, with the water problem, you just told your friend that he's got to start to get some good filters on it, right?
Oh, yeah. He said that where he grew up, they used to drink spring water. He said, but you got a problem with that because you end up getting kidney stones.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, from the minerals? I said, is water filtered at all? He said, well, we don't drink it anymore because of the kidney stones. But so where do you get your water? And to make a long story short, here's somebody who's interested, and he's noticing that there's something wrong with it, but it's taken him quite a long time to catch on.
To finally put it all together.
Yeah. And I basically, rather than just, shoving all of it down his throat, I asked him questions, to get him to open up a little bit and consider it. And, when I told him what the source of the fluorides that they're using was, he was shocked.
Oh, it is shocking. So. It's always shocking when you snap out of a blissful state of ignorance, Don. But let me tell you something for all your listeners that I think is the best, cheapest way to have the most purest quality water you can get your hands on. It's a filter called by a company called Zero Water. That's Xero water.com. And they sell them at Home Depot as well. It's just gravity. There's no electricity, no nothing required. They're all gravity filters. Just pour the water in the top. Gravity will perk it through. You'll have distilled equivalent water in the beaker that it drops into without any distillation at all. And they provide a total dissolved solid meter, which reads down into the parts per million. And you'll see on that meter, 000, meaning in parts per million, there are no detectable dissolved solids in that water. Now then do a check on your spring water. Do a check on any other filtered water, let alone your tap water, and you'll see that it doesn't tell you what's in it, but it will give you a reading of how much of total dissolved solids it's detecting. Now those dissolved solids today you can count on are not healthy minerals at least 99% of the time in any water you're encountering today.
The things that get recycled back into tap water are atrocious.
Yes.
Birth control pills and
pharmaceuticals.
All pharmaceutical drugs. That's exactly what I was going to say.
That's right. That's disgusting.
You could end up with restless leg syndrome from drinking that, couldn't you?
Don, I think that and a whole lot more. But with this, now here's the key.
Restless bowel syndrome?
Oh, gosh. And a whole lot more.
Yeah.
But the key with this filter, because it's so thorough with filtering out all impurities, that if you're using a source water that's heavily contaminated, that filter cartridge is going to get fouled up fairly quick. You're only going to get so many gallons out of it before you need to replace it, and then it gets costly. And so the way to go is you collect rainwater in rain barrels, and you use that as your source water. The rainwater comes down with pollution, but the water itself is distilled. Just probe it with the total dissolved solids meter and see what the reading is. You'll see it's almost distilled with virtually nothing in the water. And the pollutants will settle out to the bottom of the barrel. You skim the water off above the bottom so you're not picking up any of the pollutants sitting at the bottom of the barrel. You use that rainwater through that filter cartridge, and that cartridge will last you... Oh, gosh, I'm telling you, at least 100 gallons of water. At least 100. And maybe more. I mean, I get a cartridge that lasts me over a year and a half with no problem.
Mm-hmm.
And And it's pure water every time, the way God intended. Distilled equivalent water without distilling, which is an expensive process because you got to use electricity. Now, you don't want to drink distilled water, at least not regularly. Once in a while is okay, but not regularly. Any time I hear somebody, a client tells me, Mike, I drink a lot of water. Is it distilled? Yeah. And I'm like, ay, ay, ay. Distilled water has no minerals or anything in it. It's just H2O.
Mm-hmm.
And in that state, it's a universal solvent and magnet. Water is by nature a universal solvent. And in the distilled water state of H2O, it's a magnet for anything that's water soluble. And all of your, at least most of your minerals and your vitamins and enzymes in your tissue, in your body, those nutrients are water soluble. And so when you drink distilled water regularly, you're actually flushing out, you're leaching out of your body's tissues the valuable nutrients that your body needs. And that's why drinking distilled water all by itself is not wise. However, it's great to have as your bait, your water source for cooking and making your juices and your drinks, your teas. Because now you know you've got the purest water you can get on the planet. And now you're building it up with your tea or your juice. Like for me, it would be my dragon juice or my herbal teas. And then I'm charging that distilled water with nutrients. And now it's very healthy. The water that goes in has no pollutants to cause toxic-related problems in the system accumulating over time. Stones or anything like that will not occur. And at the same time, you're supplying nutrients, valuable nutrients, from the drink you prepare. As well as when you're cooking, you're not contaminating whatever you're cooking it with that water because it's just H2O. And that's the way to go for filtering. It's the cheapest way to go as long as you're able to harness, to collect a good volume of rainwater. So you always have a good source to continue making fresh water with. Now, for those that can't get rainwater steady in volume for this purpose, what you'll need to do is I think the only other filter maybe that would be worth a while is you get a Berkey. You get a Berkey, and then you run your source water through that. That'll get it really close to perfect. Then you take that water, and you run it through your zero water filter, and then you got perfect water. And that zero water cartridge will last a very long time because you're using pre-filtered water through a Berkey. And the Berkey uses ceramic cartridges, which are you can wash and clean. And they claim they're good for, depending on which model, the bigger models, so many thousand gallons of water before you need to replace the ceramic filter. And so the Berkey, I think, would be the way to go. And eventually I'll get one in case we have a bad drought and I don't have my rainwater as source water. Then I'll use a Berkey to run my source water through so I can save my zero water cartridge so it lasts as long as possible. Because with a zero water cartridge, you could take soda, you could take wine, you could pour into the zero water filter. Only pure water comes out, pure H2O. Nothing else comes out. The filter is that good. And so that's the one you want to protect and last a long time with good source water. And that would be the strategy for everybody. So you know you got your water, your healthy water covered for you, your family, your loved ones. And you'll see that that's also going to be the cheapest way to do it from here on out. And you'll be glad that you tried it and you'll verify that what I'm saying is very accurate.
Yeah. Now then there are those people that will say, well, I'm taking such and such a nutrient, you know, in a capsule form or gel cap or via some means. And, you know, it's difficult everybody's different. So, you know, everyone can't really follow a specific methodology for, you know, replacing what they've lost. There's a certain point where people have to get an appraisal no, appraisal, I think is a better word. an appraisal of their condition. You know, are they lacking in minerals, or are they eating too much protein or too many carbohydrates? Those sorts of things, and a little bit of knowledge about proper eating.
Oh, yes.
And proper cooking and all of that.
Sure, yes, yes. I mean, proper education all the way around as regarding health and what it really is and how it's maintained or restored when it's gone. Absolutely. And so water is one critical component. We just covered that. Now, yes, we're all different. We're all individuals, and we all have particular differences that make us each unique, which is wonderful. However, we have much in common. And I've seen over time that the theory that we have more in common than different, and therefore, in health, generally, everyone's health is still based upon essential minerals, vitamins, enzymes, sugars, and fats, and amino acids, what I call simple proteins. And when people get the right balance of that into their diet, then health always seems to come about every single time. And from my experience, which is pretty extensive now over the years. And so that's really all it comes down to. First of all, we have to make sure that we're not putting into the body things that cause it to break down, that cause it to slow down, to get plugged up, and also to cause it to rot and to become poisonous and toxic internally. And most people would say, well, I don't do that, fortunately, to myself. And then actually, most people do, because they're not realizing, as they got older to a certain stage in their life, usually in their 20s, late teens, early 20s, and one day, on a hot day, they're outside working, doing something, and all of a sudden they smelled something, and they said, my God, is that coming from me? I didn't have that odor before, and now you need a deodorant or a cologne or a perfume to cover it up, let alone take a shower frequently. And so there is your evidence that you are toxifying your body. You are causing to rot out from inside, because we didn't have that when we were born. I never seen any infant at birth require a cologne or a perfume. They're all born clean smelling, because that's the godly way. And cleanliness is next to godliness. And so we have to make sure that we learn how to treat our body temple properly, so it remains a nice temple for us to inhabit, to dwell in. And we're, of course, taught how to ruin it and convert it into a disheveled shack gradually over time. They call that aging today. And so by making sure you abstain from putting into the body things that are technically not really food, even though we are told they are, and just use the foods from nature that are clean and nourishing, that strengthen the body and keep it energized and youthful, then there's going to be so many happy people running around that these controllers will have no way of subduing us. It'll be impossible, because when we're healthy and energized, we're ready and young. Like all kids, you feel like you can conquer the world. There's nobody that can put you down, because you're just too strong. You're too energized. You get knocked down, you bounce right back up. And so that's critical for everyone's happiness. And unfortunately, there's not too many people really teaching this. And so, of course, a lot of people say, well, you know, Mike, I got to eat meat. If I go without it, then, you know, I'm not as strong. And I would just say, well, that's where you think you are right now. But if you just follow the real science and try to feed your body according to the way I would direct you to, you will see that you're going to feel stronger than you were before. And you're also going to, you're just going to be happier, because when the body's really healthy and clean, then the mind itself responds accordingly. And I've got a current case here locally with someone that is already experiencing that within 3 weeks of being on antidepressants, having tremendous, tremendous problems, so bad that she can't even work because she just can't cope with anything. She'll, little stress, just a minor little statement or thought could cause her to break right down. She was so timid and weak in that way. And just in 3 weeks of working with her body, she had a bad background of physical, bad things, bad substances going into her body causing toxicity. And so working with her at the physical level with my system toner, my dragon juice, my herbal tea, and then a diet, telling her follow my guidelines for the diet the best you can. And then I was working with her at the mental level and the spiritual level with instructions for exercises. And just in 3 weeks, now this poor girl's been carrying on this problem for years. And just in 3 weeks, she said, Mike, I'm about 40%, and I can't get over how much, better I feel physically and also mentally. I'm dwelling on thoughts and things that usually that would set her back. It caused her to just collapse and revert back to pretty much just being, shut down and non-functionable. And now she's able to entertain these thoughts and not experience that negative emotional breakdown. She's actually able to cope more with it and to see through it better, to analyze it better, and see her way and steer her way around or through it. And so, in just 3 weeks, that's really great news. And for someone in that condition, and this is how it works for all of us. We're spiritual beings in a physical body, and we have a mind as a tool so we can experience and function in what we call life. And so we have to make sure that we pay close attention to all three aspects of our nature, never neglecting any of them, because they're all interdependent. A healthy mind's a healthy body. A healthy body's a healthy mind. A strong spirit keeps the body strong. A strong body keeps the spirit strong. A positive mind keeps the spirit very virtuous. A virtuous spirit keeps the mind very positive. It's all interrelated, those three components to our being. And so we can't overlook any of them. They're very important for our overall makeup of our health. And but at the physical level, it's critical that we really get the proper education. And for those people that say, well, I got to have animals, Mike, I say, well, eat it when you think you have to, but try to see if you can get away from it gradually and substitute vegetable proteins for the animal protein, which will be lighter and less toxic on the system. Because complex proteins, Don, contrary to belief, are very toxic. And we're led to believe a lot of times in consultation when I tell the clients, say, we get into this conversation, and what about protein, Mike, and this, I got to have it. I say, yeah, the body runs on protein, right? Yeah, because that's what they tell us. They make you think the body's got that protein. The body must run on protein then, right? Yeah, Mike. Wrong. The body runs on sugar. And to prove that these so-called experts really contradict themselves, and they don't even realize it, when you're in a critical condition, you're rushed to the emergency, and they have to IV you to keep you alive, what's in that IV solution? It's sugar water. It is not protein water. If it was protein water, it would kill you in that weakened condition. It's the sugar water that has a chance of keeping you alive. However, they're using crap sugar in their solution, and it has no health effects, so usually you're still languishing in the hands of these idiots. Where the best sugar water for instant recovery would be like my dragon juice, a great drink with high-quality honey and apple cider vinegar at its base, supercharged with electrolytes, which are minerals, that get the spark going in the nervous system, that gets everything going again. And so there's the contradiction about what the body really runs on. But we do need some proteins, and that's the amino acids. protein itself is just really, when you look at yourself in the mirror, look at your body, look at your hair, look at your skin, and then realize your nails, and then look, think about everything inside that you don't see, your skeleton structure, and the tissues of your glands and your organs and your nerves. That is protein. Now, do we eat hair and nails and bones to make hair, nails, and bones and skin? No, we don't. But we're led to believe we're supposed to, by eating the skin, the bones, or the flesh of animals, that it's going to do that for us. And it doesn't work that way. The body is a laboratory. It requires fundamental elements, and then it will synthesize from those elements and create the protein that makes up the body. When a woman is lactating as she nurses, does she need to drink milk to make more milk? No. She needs raw fundamental elements that the body needs to synthesize, and then the glands, the mammary glands, will generate more milk. And so, once people understand that, then they get a better concept of what the diet's really all about, and their body and the relationship to nature. And we never really hear that proper explanation. And that'll help people get stronger as they get off the complex proteins of animals and substitute it with the complex proteins from vegetables and grains, which will still be toxic in the very long run, but not quite like the animal proteins, which are super, super toxic. Because when you eat complex proteins, the byproduct is uric acid and ammonia. And you see the yellow uric acid, and you smell the ammonia, and you say, woo! And that's because it's poison. And if the body doesn't flush it out, you'll die from it over time, from toxicity, auto-intoxication. And so the body knows this, of course, and it has to flush it all out. So it's best not to see your urine yellow too often. That way you know your glands, your organs, aren't really getting toxified with a high acid, which is uric acid, very acidic. And the vegetable proteins will take a longer time to build up that kind of level of uric acid in the system. But it will still happen over time. So you have to make sure you overall that you don't get too much of those complex proteins in the system. So your urine is more clear like water most of the time. And you will see once you're operating at that level that you feel great. And you're really not vulnerable to getting sick as well. And those are all the benefits. And we need to be strong like this, as to be able to endure, unfortunately, what may be coming our way as these devils unleash the rest of their fury on us as they try to establish Satan's one world order structure here with a one world government and impose on us these population control mechanisms and through famine and pandemics and devil foods, laboratory foods like Monsanto, where everything's denatured, and it really doesn't have any nutritional content. So even though you're thinking that you're eating something from earth that's a vegetable or a fruit, and you say, wow, this corn is good, but it's really Monsanto corn. It has no nutritional value because it's not digestible. And so we have to make sure that we understand what I just covered here in some detail, because that's the only way we're going to stay tip-top healthy, so we're not even vulnerable to getting sick. And whatever they throw at us, we'll be able to not be hit by it, or it won't at least have any impact on us, and we'll keep going and going and going when everybody else will be failing and falling by the wayside.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I think of how people respond to all the stimuli to invest their hard-earned money into fast foods under the guise of convenience, you know, they're saving 15 minutes to an hour at lunchtime, depending on how long it takes them to get their food, if you can even call it that at some places.
Sure.
And you know, what they're looking for is something to get rid of that hunger, really not considering what they're doing to their body and how they're complicating things. Now, you're talking years and years, and with some people, it's a whole lifetime, especially young people. They've been in that environment since they were...
it's old, conditioning.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Old enough to talk or old enough to eat solid food. Many times the parents just say, oh, well, I don't feel like cooking. It's easier to go to XYZ fast food hamburger joint or whatever and pick up a sad meal. You know?
Yes, sure.
And the kids are eating this and they're becoming addicted to all of the addictive substances that are put in there, the flavor enhancers and those things. And you wonder why, when you look at these people, that they're very obese. By and large, the averages are way out of balance in terms of you know, the appearance of the customers.
Yeah, you know, and you know what I noticed also, Don, on those improper diets with that non-foods from the devil. I see cellulite, what they call cellulite. That's a saggy skin that is generally, on old people. I see that on more and more younger people. I mean, in their 20s. And the skin should be tight with a shine and a glow. But that's what happens when you're eating denatured foods that have no nutrition content, but are just chemicals and poisons, as along with the dead flesh, and whatever degree of dead flesh may be in it, if it's a fast food joint. And so, yes, it's really sad. It really is so sad. But unfortunately, it seems to be an experience that the people of the modern world have to go through to learn a valuable lesson. But it is very sad to see it. It truly is.
Well,
but
you
it convenient.
Yeah, you hear these fast food chains, you know, be getting very defensive about the quality of their food. Oh, we have a well-rounded diet, and the doctor...
Yeah, they have fresh salads. You see the salad bar?
We don't even have to talk about the salads. I'm just saying the sandwiches and the fries and the shakes and the pies and all these things that
it's 5-star restaurant quality.
Microwave ovens and that whole issue, the food wrapped in paper and
yep, that's right.
You know, what I see is, again, there's a lot of denial. You know, that people really have become addicted to this stuff. Just like an alcoholic is addicted to...
And tobacco smokers, that's right.
And drug addicts and hypochondriacs and, you know, people who are addicted to prescription medicine as well.
And it's all the same.
Yeah, and they become very defensive. Now, I've shared this story with you and listeners maybe a couple of years ago. It bears repeating. You know, these foods have to be tested. I'll give the FDA credit for that they require these foods to be tested for contaminants. But when they're tested, most of the food is allowed to pass through into the market anyway.
Yeah, Don, you know, it just cracks me up. Yes, we're going to assure food quality. We're going to test it. But we're going to overlook that we allow so much rat excrement in your hot dog. I mean, that's tolerable. So we're going to overlook that. And what else? It's all BS. And we have to realize as individuals that we're responsible for our health. I cannot expect somebody else to care about my health. I'd be crazy to.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to care more about my health than me?
That's the point I was making before. I have a friend that runs the machine that tests these different samples that come from all the fast food places around the country.
Mm-hmm.
They send these samples. They're tested. In other words, they're prepared, okay, to whatever extent permits the testing to occur. And
well, they have to submit, Don, are they, is it that they have to submit samples for periodic testing to an outfit like your friends here?
Well, my understanding, I mean, you know, I'm not talking about Codex Alimentarius here.
No.
But
this is just FDA regulation?
Well, yeah, I'm presuming that this is, you know, they come out with a new food, let's say, and they want to make sure that they're not getting insects or rodents or whatever into the food or anything else, any materials that don't belong in the food. And I asked my friend what the general findings are in a day's work. And he said, well, you know, I've got two sons, and my oldest son likes to eat fast food. And I test all of these different fast foods. And he says, I will not allow my son to eat in a fast food restaurant. As long as he's living with me, you know, when he reaches a legal age where he's responsible for the decisions that he makes, he's free to make those choices, but I will not contribute to his demise by allowing him to eat these things. You should see what I find in these tests.
You should publish that.
Yeah.
Right? You should publish that. Get that out there.
You know,
people need that information.
So, you know, I'm sharing that, well, you know, the best way I can with, you know, it's not my intention to defame somebody that really thinks that they're putting a quality product out, but I can't imagine some of the ways that this stuff is made. In fact, that point has been stressed by my friend that mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you what is in this stuff half the time, even though we can analyze down to parts per billion,
mm-hmm.
okay, you're talking about very stringent parameters.
I can see the laboratory results now, Don, in the white coats. As I say, you know, boss, we ran it through the latest spectroscopy machine that we have that breaks it all down to the billionth of a particle, and we still can't determine some of these components as to we can't identify them yet. They're unknowns.
Mm-hmm.
That's just great, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, you can go to one of the run of the mill chain donut shops and eat a donut or a sweet roll or something like that, and you know it's going to have plenty of sugar. So if you're one of those people that has to appease your sweet tooth, then you're not really going to be concerned about what the nature of the oil that those donuts were fried in is. When was the last time they changed it?
You don't want to look at the vat your donuts just came out of.
Yes, but now the reason I bring that up is I know of a particular bakery that you would think that their pastries are made in heaven.
Yeah.
They're, you can tell that there's something different. Now, does that mean donuts are healthy? Well, if they're made from whole wheat and all natural products and there aren't these additives and
then they're healthier. I've seen years ago I used to see some donuts in the health store and they were fried too. Maybe somebody was trying to bake them, but they were fried too. And of course, right, Don, as long as all the ingredients are wholesome and that vat of oil they're frying them in is fresh and clean
mm-hmm.
every time.
Yes.
You're going to get something out of that as a food. You'll get something out of it. But forget it with these fast food joints. Forget it, people. You're just... That money you're saving is going to cost you big bucks in the long run, along with a whole lot of misery, too.
Yeah. So, I thought I'd mention that. That comes from somebody that does that for a living. You know, he tests these foods every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, do you get bored with doing this repetitive work like that. And he said, there is never a dull moment. You should see the things we find.
My God.
You know, and
yeah, sure.
You know, and the, I guess the, you know, the sensory equipment and the software and everything is quite capable of analyzing things to even show what the likely source of the contaminants are.
Well, you know, Don, look at when you get a chance, you look at the History Channel when they show some segments on food production, whether it's candy and how they manufacture candy, or if it's some kind of other food, even donuts. And the big companies, the big corporations, you know, they're pumping out huge volume. And you look, it's just one big laboratory with an automated process, and it's all chemicals with sugar from beginning to end with some flour mixed in. And it's just a long laboratory process line until it comes out prepackaged in that wrapper. And every time I would see that, I'd be laughing, saying, yeah, and that's food. Yeah, that's food. That's real close to the way Mother Nature does it.
Yeah, you know, they're really, you know, a chemistry, I guess, in a sense. You know, there are certain things, there are advantages to having a chemist in a food company.
Well, look at Chevy Chase in Christmas Vacation when he was working for the this food corporation, and his buddy works with him, says, "Hey, how you making out with that new ingredient there for the cereals or something?" Goes, "Oh yeah, you mean my non-nutritional varnish for the cereal grains? Yeah, let me tell you how it works. Well, you see, it's a varnish, and so it prevents the moisture to seep in and keeps it real crunchy through that, you know, non-nutritional varnish." I mean, that was a great, great parody on exactly what we're talking about with these fast food operations that are calling it food, but it's just laboratory crap. That's all it is.
Oh yeah, and they're modifying now the nature of a crop's ability to reproduce from its own seed. I mean, that's being eliminated.
Yeah, God forbid they're going to get much further than that. I mean, we're tampering with nature here in ways where there's no going back. If God doesn't intervene, if we don't intervene for God and stop these devils from tampering with God's creation, my God, the day's going to come where there won't be any nature. There won't be any food from nature. It'll all be laboratory food. That's all it will be. Whatever they grow out in nature will be dead food that won't be digestible, just like the Monsanto corn is right now. You know, and people may say, "Mike, but I eat the Monsanto corn and it seems okay to me." And that does baffle me, because when I first encountered it, number about at least 7-8 years ago, I got indigestion right away. I wasn't sure what caused it. It was in the summer, late summer. I got the corn from the local farm, and I'm eating it with my veggies out of my garden. So I wasn't sure. I'm suspecting the corn, of course, because my veggies are pure, beautiful, organic. Everything is great and healthy. So I wasn't sure, though. And so I wait till the next day. I had some tea later that night. Digestion, my stomach was fine again through the next day, fine, all the way up to dinner. Have some corn with the veggies in the yard, get indigestion. Third day in a row, I verified it was the corn. Yet, nobody else notices it. Now, a few months ago, Don, I bought some frozen corn from a health store, Cascadian brand. And I figured it was organic, because they say it's organic. So I trusted them. And I cooked up a big dish of it. I was keeled over, because I couldn't digest it. And I had a lot of it, so it set me back for a day at least, until my teas and the system toner restored my stomach. It was totally indigestible, totally. I brought the remaining back, and I said, "This is not organic." And they go, "How do you know?" And I said, "Because I couldn't eat it. It was indigestible, and only Monsanto corn does that." So I figured they probably had ran out of supplies, bad year for the organic corn, whatever, to keep the business going. They had to get regular commercial corn and package it. I couldn't figure any other way. It was only that did it. I never have any kind of digestion problems. Stomach is super strong, always healthy, feel great all the time. But that corn keeled me right over, just like the Monsanto did when I had it at the farm years prior. And so we can't drop our guard, unfortunately, because trust has to be earned, and there's no getting around that. And so I just hope the day comes when we all get productive again, we all get our relationship with nature again, the way the original Americans, the old, when life was simpler. We were living off the land more. Let's have our technology and keep things advanced civilization-wise with technology that's helping us make life better for us and not harder on us, or it gives us more freedom rather than enslaves us. Let's use technology and keep it advancing for that purpose, but otherwise keep our lives simple, close to nature. That's the way God wants it. And everybody enjoying the gardening experience as much as they can. The work pays off when you harvest. And it's a God experience to garden. See, in the Bible, it starts off in the garden, ends in the garden. In the beginning, Adam and Eve are in a garden. The garden's perfect. There's no death. There's no disease. And then a problem happens. There's a fall, death, disease, struggle, and misery, suffering. Then the Bible ends with the garden restored again. Everything's peace, no death, no suffering, even among the animals, no predators. Everything is vegetarian again. That's right in the Bible, beginning to end. Then the Lord of the Son of God, the Lord himself incarnates, and he teaches us. What does he teach us? Gardening. I am the vine, ye are the branches. The kingdom of heaven's like a mustard seed. As ye sow, so shall ye reap. In the end days, I will send my angels for the harvest. So, gardening is crucial for our spiritual development. And you can't appreciate it till you do it. And now, of course, Don, you know what I'm talking about because you garden quite well yourself. And to see one seed produce hundreds or thousands of its own, that's a miracle.
Well, I was going to say that. It is. It's miraculous.
It is. And that's the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven's like a mustard seed, and the kingdom of heaven is within ye. So this expanding power is our spiritual nature, but it needs to be cultivated the way the Lord taught us. Unfortunately, we don't learn that from all the experts out there because they really don't really know the Lord quite well enough. And the Gospels are so chopped up that a lot that the Lord taught has been removed.
Yes.
And nonetheless, though, it's all about gardening. And when we garden, we're much happier because it's part of our divine nature to participate in creation that way, in the garden, by helping it grow, and also to grow our own wonderful foods direct from Mother Nature. And we get that more rapport with Mother Nature that is missing, unfortunately, today. And so, you know, that's what I wanted to see it all go back to, Don, and I know it will in time. Mankind, Americans, and everybody else on the planet will go back to that because it's our divine nature to live that way.
Yeah, well, we have these companies with strange names, you know. The one particular company that's really pouring it on with the genetically modified foods calls itself Saint Mon. Isn't that an interesting name?
M-O-N?
Oh, yes, yes. The Mon, the Bon. This is the ancient secret society that became the Thule society,
mm-hmm.
and secretly the Vril society in Germany.
Right, the Bonds, right?
Yes, the Bonds and the Mons. Okay, mm-hmm. And Monsanto. What does that mean? That's
well, there you go.
There you go, Saint Mon.
True. True.
And so it's just another agenda. Using food to do what they did with the fluorides in the drinking water, the
yes.
byproduct of aluminum manufacturing, the waste materials that are very expensive
to dispose
of properly. So,
right.
What proper way did they decide to do it? by putting it in the tap water.
We dispose of for him for free when we turn on the faucet.
Yes.
While they poison our minds and denature our bone structure, because that fluoride rots teeth.
Yes.
Yeah, Don, that's so true. You know, the devils will always portray themselves as goodly little saints. They are, oh, they're so good and saint-like. But, of course, they're not. They're counterfeiters, and we've covered that numerous times. And that's what they do. They counterfeit everything.
Yeah.
And whatever comes out of their evil hands is death itself.
Yes, and they will say anything to deny that that's the nature of it.
Yeah, the cowards they are. Can't handle the truth, can they?
Yeah. Well, Michael, we're out of time. I want to encourage people to get in touch with you, and they can do so by going to my website, directlightproductions.com. Click on sponsors, and you will see Michael Anthony listed there. Just click on that and take a look at some of the herbal remedies that he carries. They're fantastic. I've used them. I know a lot of people that have used them, and they've gotten really excellent results. And the wonderful thing is they're not very expensive. And I'm anxious to try your new tea, by the way. So,
yes, sir, Don. I got to set you up real soon, pal.
So
it's
the
very good, very healthy.
Yeah, the dragon juice I can't keep in stock. Okay, I have visitors. I have some people that are working with me on a musical project. They get a little thirsty. I mean, the first thing out of their mouth now is, you got any dragon juice before we play a note?
And, yeah, that's great.
And to see, I get a kick out of it. To watch their facial expressions, especially when they're involved in the creative process, what used to really grate on their nerves now is has no impact. And
right.
And they're able to work longer periods of time, more concentration, and happier. It's reflected in the music. Really is.
Yes, it's true. Yes, it is. It's absolutely true. It's great to hear that, and everyone usually has that experience with the dragon just because it's so nutritional. And I do it with foods. I'm not using supplements, and it's honey-based, of course, from here in the New York, Pennsylvania area where it's wide open country, high quality honey. And I use usually Bragg's apple cider vinegar as the vinegar source, so it's high quality. But then when I infuse it with herbs and some other fruits and I round it out to make it special as that dragon juice, when it's all prepared, it's a powerhouse. It just kicks the body right in high gear, and it does it through nutrition, and everyone is always so happy because, as far as, you know, Mike, I go all day with energy. I feel great, but it doesn't burn me out like a caffeine would or a cheap sugar does, and it doesn't, and it never will because it's all high-quality ingredients, and it's wholesome, exact chemistry, the way that what the body is looking for,
yeah.
And it makes it run, and it makes it run very smoothly, and it builds you right up and makes you strong. The dragon juice is very special. But all my formulas, Don, as you well know, the infection killer, the rapid heal, the system toner, the lung formula, on and on, the cancer blaster, they're all very, very special, unique formulas. There's really nothing like them, and they do get great results. And I continue to get great feedback from more and more new clients that are trying them. And it's just a great thing. And I do my best to keep it as affordable as possible because I know everybody needs this stuff. And if I can get to the point, Don, where I get enough volume going, I'll lower my prices even further. Instead of raising them, I will lower them so even more people can afford them because it's supposed to be cheap to get well and healthy. and my formulas deliver on results fast, usually within minutes, hours, or days, depending on the person and how bad the condition is. When I get stubborn cases and they're not responding within minutes or hours or even a day or two, it's only because they're constipated, they're older and constipated, and I got to do some flushing out with psyllium seed husk powder. And then once that occurs and the digestion kicks back in and it's stronger again, my formulas kick right in and the results come back in minutes and hours and within a day or two. And that's the way it's supposed to be.
And that's not an exaggeration, I want to say. You know?
Yes, and I do not exaggerate, as you know, Don. And everybody's always marveling at that. And that's why I really don't advertise, because everyone will always call me, Mike, you know, I just find it hard to believe. And I'm like, yes, I know, it's hard to believe they're that good, but they are. But by word of mouth, as people discover them and then they tell other people that they care about, say, I'm telling you, just use this guy's stuff. It's great. And, you know, sure enough, it keeps growing and growing that way. Because you just won't believe it. I understand that. It's so hard to believe. You think Don's just, you know, me and Don are friends, and so Don's just selling it, selling the line because he has to. But it's all true.
I don't have to. I'm not selling anything, first of all.
Yes, I know. But I mean, as far as you're promoting it, because, you know, it's...
It works.
I'm your sponsor. But yeah, we're legitimate. I'm down earth. My formulas are great. And I'm even willing to bet anybody else that doesn't want to believe it as much as they want. Give me a case. You know, we have to have it in a controlled environment, of course, so I can prove that my formulas do perform exactly the way I say. I'll win that bet every single time. There is, out of all the years of being around in the science field, I'm very blessed to have these formulas for myself, because I don't think you'll ever see anything like them again anywhere. The Rapid Heal, the Infection Killer, all of them, the System Toner. And so they should be affordable as well. It's very important that people get healthy as cheaply as possible. It's not supposed to cost a fortune. It's not even supposed to cost a small fortune. It's supposed to be quite cheap to get your health back. And in the old days, that's how it was. And I'm all for that. And I'm doing this as a service to my master, the good Lord himself, to help people and animals, because my formulas are equally effective on animals, as well as even birds I've worked with.
Oh, yeah.
And so...
I'll vouch for that. Yeah.
It's... That's some bird you got there. He's great.
Oh, I give him the dragon juice from time to time. First thing he says is, this is good. he just came up with that on his own.
He's good. You got to get him on the air so your audience can enjoy him. He's unbelievable. But even the birds like it. That's great. But it's all true. And if I can get the volume up there, Don, to the point where I can lower the prices, I will do it so more and more people can afford it. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, business is, you know, legitimate business has always been that way. When you can get, when you can purchase larger quantities of a product, there are price breaks there to compensate for how much business you're doing.
Yes, absolutely. And I do that for anybody that, for all my clients that place pretty big orders, I'm always throwing in extras just to show my appreciation. And I've got some now that are looking to do volume as they are in the health field and they want to help their patients, their clients. And so as they check out my formulas, like right now somebody down in Florida, and as soon as he discovers that all these formulas do excel, he will continue to probably do big volume, and I give him discounts on top because of the volume, and I'm all for that. And so I work with everybody to help them out so they can afford my stuff and also share it with those that they want to share it with and have a little room to make a profit as well if they're a business. So I'm operating like that to help everybody the best I can. And everybody knows that I'm very fair, and I do my best to make sure they're all happy because, like I say, Don, that's part of good business. But the bottom line is that the formulas do perform exactly as stated, And they're really affordable for what they do. I'm sure if anybody else had their hands on these formulas, they'd be charging a lot more. And you'd see the results. So most people would say it's worth it because, hey, I've never seen anything work like that before. But it should still be really as cheap as I'm selling them. And the results are just spectacular every time.
They far outweigh the cost of getting it, you know. And it's an investment in one's self, really.
Yes.
And the dragon juice, that's fair game, I guess, for everybody else. Well, Michael, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for all the wonderful information. We also want to let the listeners know that you will be on Evident Footprints again on the 30th. That's New Year's Eve Eve.
Oh, boy, that's going to be a party night, huh, Dan?
Yeah, so actually New Year's Eve I'm spending with Drew Malone Rains, the third.
As far, you guys getting together or over the air?
Oh, no, on the air. We're
okay, great.
Show that night.
Great.
So, yeah.
I'll be looking forward to it.
A lot of things. I'm sure there'll be a lot of things to talk about. So until your next visit on Evident Footprints, I wish you a very Merry Christmas and whatever meaning you get out of the holiday, of course. It has become so commercial, it's obscene.
It's sad, Don. Let me tell you right now, this is what it means to me, and I wish you and your audience a Merry Christmas. Goodwill to men, peace to all things. That's what Christmas is about. And the joy and gratitude that the Lord Himself incarnated as a man and dwelled with us and experienced all that He did just for our benefit so we can eventually be back in the heavenly realms with Him and the good angels. That's what Christmas is all about. Nothing else. Take care of the kids. Spoil them a little bit in a good way. That's fine. But the adults, and make sure you instruct the kids that Christmas is all about the birth of Jesus, and the wise men gave Him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we're giving the kids gifts because we appreciate them being there. And instruct them properly about what it's all about when you spoil them in a good little way on that special occasion. But let's always remember, it's in gratitude of the Lord Himself for being what He is, who He is, and what He is, and all that He went through for our benefit so that creation could be spared, so the devils couldn't destroy it totally like they want to. And He's going to return, and He's going to restore everything. And so let's make sure that we keep that in our hearts as we celebrate this special Christmas day. And make sure you tell everybody Merry Christmas. No happy holiday nonsense. It's Merry Christmas.
Yeah, now leave the happy for like Kwanzaa.
Yes, exactly. That's right.
All right, Michael, got to say goodnight, but thank you. And I look forward to
thank you, Don. Appearing goodnight.
On the 30th, okay? Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and to tonight's special guest, Mr. Michael Anthony. You can check out Michael Anthony's private stock by going to DirectLightProductions.com, click on sponsors, and just look for his name. And he's got some wonderful stuff, so do yourself a favor and check it out. And Michael will talk to you. His contact information is there at the bottom of the page. And after you read it, if you have any questions, he'll be happy to consult with you. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for carrying Evident Footprints. Also, blogtalkradio.com. Also, we'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow evening when my very special guest will be none other than former U.S. Marine Drew Malone Rains III. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.